This is On Target St. John's, a look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know? The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of On Target St. John's. I'm your guest host, Ben Murphy, sitting in today for VOCM's Linda Swain, who is off enjoying vacation, and she could not have asked for a much better week. Linda, we miss you. And don't forget, coming up right after the program, Provincial COVID-19 Update with Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Janice Fitzgerald, and Health Minister John Hagee, Premier-designate, or soon-to-be Premier-designate once he's officially sworn in, Andrew Fury, not going to make his first appearance today. That gets underway at 2 p.m. sharp. Your 590 VOCM will carry that full update live for you. Now, let's get to the fun stuff. I'm very excited to welcome my guest for today on Target St. John's. He's the voice of your Newfoundland Growlers. He's the man behind the microphone giving you some of the best game calls you will hear, including this memorable one.
Out in front! What a block! National Hockey Championship is coming to the province of Newfoundland and Labrador. Your Newfoundland Growlers are Kelly Cup champions.
Chills. Chris Ballard, welcome. Thank you for joining me this afternoon on our Target St. John's. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, and thanks for playing that. I never get tired of hearing that. I get goosebumps every time, not because I'm so self-involved that I like hearing my own voice, but I mean, that really represents such a huge moment. Like, that'll never get old.
No, I'm all the hairs on my arm, the back of my neck, standing up straight every single time. It never, ever fails. It brings me right back there. It's one of my favorite calls. Chris, first off, man, what have you been up to all summer? And what I guess has been an extended offseason.
Yeah, you know, it definitely has. I mean, it's been a strange one, of course, the same as it has been for everyone in professional hockey. You know, we look forward to this time as a bit of downtime in a normal sense. We work so hard and so long, and you're so locked into the season when you're in season. So you kind of look forward to this, but at the same time, you know, you want the world to go back to normal so we can get back to doing what we do. It's been strange, but that being said, you know, there's certainly lots of work to be done as always in any off season, lots of prep ahead of the next season and a couple of extra projects to kind of figure some stuff out, you know, obviously in this, this pandemic situation. So we're doing our best to keep busy and, you know, at the same time, you know, taking a day or two off here and there, as was the original plan.
Chris, obviously the league came to a pretty abrupt halt back there in March, of course, due to the pandemic. But you often hear people talk about the players, how they've coped with having their livelihoods taken away, like many, feeling pretty lost without having the game to play, going to practice, just that normal daily routine. As a broadcaster who travels with the team and basically lives the entire life, how have you coped with it all?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, actually. No one's ever asked me that. I mean, I get used to that routine the same as the players. So I truly do miss it because I do love traveling with the team and being, you know, as much of a part of that group as I can. But at the same time, you know, being home for a handful of months at a time has really allowed me to, you know, give some time back to my wife and my family who, you know, you inadvertently neglect at times throughout the course of a long season with a lot of travel. So I've really enjoyed, honestly, you know, having that opportunity to binge watch a whole bunch of stuff with my wife and watch a whole day of hockey and then wake up and do it all again. I'm really trying to cherish these moments, but at the same time, the other side of the coin is I cannot wait to get back into the building whenever that's going to be. I know the ECHL has announced, you know, its intent to return to action on the 4th of December. Mm-hmm. That falls in line with the American Hockey League, and we're all holding out hope for that, but certainly a lot of things have to go well and go right in order for that to happen. So just, you know, as much of a cliche as this is, take it a day at a time, you know, and just enjoy the positives that you can draw, you know, the warm weather and the good Netflix.
And we'll get a little more into the ECHL's return to play plan a little later in the show. And Chris, I know you were doing the Growler Hour show there for a while.
Yeah.
And how did that all kind of come to be? Because as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure it kind of stemmed from the Growlers originally kind of finishing off the season streaming the NHL video game.
Yeah, so obviously our season, our last game was in Brampton, Ontario on the 10th of March. So our creative team, we kind of looked at each other and said, all right, we're in a pickle here. So what can we do that's going to be a bit of fun, for the fans that can kind of at least bridge the gap, say, between that middle of March and the end of our regular season or our regularly scheduled program? And we put our heads together and we said, oh, let's do some kind of a show on Twitch. That's where all the kids are these days. You know, it's a great web streaming platform, primarily used for the streaming of video games. But we decided let's have some fun with the platform. And we started to kind of tinker around a little bit and, yeah, decided to sim our remaining regular season schedule on Twitch through the NHL video game on PlayStation, ours was. And from there, it was myself and Kenny O'Leary and John Long. That's kind of the core of our creative media team here on this side. And we started doing that with some kind of commentary and hanging out with fans and just, you know, continuing to have a conversation. And then when we kind of got through a few episodes of that, we decided that's cool. We really like the groundwork we've kind of laid here. We think there's something cool here. And while we were doing those initial streams, because of the relationships I had built with the players, I was able to just kind of off the cuff be like, oh, man, let me try and get Todd Skirving on the phone and see what he has to say. Or let me call up Zach O'Brien, completely blindsiding these guys. And we, as fun as that was, kind of once the dust settled and our regular season was kind of done, we said, man, that was a lot of fun. Maybe we can kind of tinker this and keep this going. And that turned into what we now know as Growler Hour, the show that we produced. I think we ended up producing 14 episodes, all an hour or longer.
Wow.
And it started out, like I said, on the Twitch platform. And it evolved a little bit, and our local Rogers TV station picked it up and put us on TV, and then the rest is kind of history. And, man, what a fun time that was. I had the chance to interview so many, honestly, people I've always looked forward to getting the chance to meeting. I had a great hockey chat with Alan Doyle, and Ron McLean was one of my favorites.
Always.
And even just sitting down with a few of the players. Like, we had Zach O'Brien and Sam Jardine. It's Jard's birthday today, by the way, so happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Out into the ether. Happy birthday, Sam Jardine, Kelly Cup champ. That episode was so much fun because I got to pull a lot of just stories out of the boys, mm-hmm. You know, stuff that you don't get in your normal everyday interview. I got to be like, hey, Ovi, you scored this crazy goal. Man, tell me about it. What was the reaction? Jards, how about you? It really blossomed into just weeks and weeks of just awesome stories and awesome content that wouldn't have happened if we had had a season. So I know I'm rambling, but really it was one of the cooler projects I've really ever had the honor and privilege of being a part of. I wouldn't have given it up for anything.
And Chris, on that note, how important was that in kind of helping to cope with everything else that was going on to at least have that little bit of normalcy in your life?
Yeah, it was really beneficial because you kind of, I don't know, you almost feel like you're on an island sometimes when, I'm a pretty private person. I keep to myself, but then days go by and turn into weeks and you wonder, man, when was the last time I talked to people? Or when was the last time I had a normal conversation that wasn't, you know, preceded by, hey, how you holding up? You know what I mean? So it was just really cool to have conversations about things in my wheelhouse that served as a distraction to all of this. So it really did help in, you know, just at least creating this false sense of normalcy around, you know, your day-to-day life. And, I haven't popped that bubble yet.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick timeout here on Target St. John's, and we'll be right back right after this. It's 3:19.
Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
Welcome back. This is On Target St. John's, the Wednesday edition. I'm Ben Murphy, filling in for VOCM's Linda Swain, and we're talking hockey with the voice of your Newfoundland Growlers, Chris Ballard. So, Chris, let's shift and talk about our hometown team, the Growlers. The team is starting to shape up a bit for next season when that does come, and we'll get to that a little more later in the show. But the team has made a number of re-signings, including, first off, Captain James Malindi. Why was it so important to lock down Meller and do it so early?
Yeah, he's obviously been such an important part of this team. And as the captain, you know, for the first two seasons, I mean, really, it's not too much of a stretch to say that, you know, he's truly the heart and soul of this hockey club. So I was really glad to see the coaching staff, you know, obviously led by head coach John Snowden, put a priority and a push on getting him locked up early so you can kind of build from the crease out. And, you know, in addition to what Melindy brings, you know, only a handful of other guys signed currently, and two more guys who are, again, just instrumental guys. Todd Skirving and Garrett Johnston. Garrett Johnston had a huge year, earning himself, you know, Growlers Defenseman of the Year honors, which is not something, you know, to take lightly. And Todd Skirving, obviously, I mean, he's pretty much the mayor of St. John's now. He's absolutely beloved in the room and in the city and in the province. So if that's the core that we're going to build around moving forward, then we can get real excited for that.
Yeah, I mean, what was it? Some 26 points for Garrett Johnston this season? 3 goals, 23 apples? I mean, come on. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you have to think about the role he played. He wasn't the first guy getting called up every day. He wasn't on an American League deal. But he still managed to be that every day, every situation player, not to mention the fact that he earned himself a PTO, professional tryout, with the Marlies and made his AHL debut this season as an ECHL contracted guy. You know that is a sign that we have not even seen the best of this guy. So especially, you know, two good years with us and that familiarity, he's really getting comfortable. He's really coming out of his shell. And again, I'm really excited. That's a 30-year decor right there. And that's not even the guys who I know we've signed that I'm not going to share with you. So get excited. I know it's early and I know it feels like a light year away. But there's no reason to believe that this team won't be as competitive as it has been these last two seasons.
Yeah, and Chris, you brought up Todd Skirving there, and I did want to talk to you about him as well. Obviously, a big, big community guy for the team. He is clearly the glue that, you know, really does help hold this team together. And that must have been a pretty simple decision for both parties.
I can only imagine so. I've gotten quite close with Todd Skirving over the course of the last two seasons, and he's actually my seatmate on the bus.
Nice.
Behind me on the bus. So a lot of good chats have happened over the course of the last few years. And honestly, all of the good things that people say about Todd Skirving, he comes by them all very naturally. He really is, much like James Melindy, one of those heart and soul guys where if you need someone to, you know, break the ice in a tense moment, when you can always look at Skirves to, you know, find that right thing to say in the room. And he's also the kind of guy where he knows he may or may not be in the lineup every day, but that does not stop him from giving absolutely everything he has inside him, you know, to this team. So, and again, it's not like he's not a producer on the ice either.
I yeah, no, exactly.
Proving that he can play at this level. And he, Skirves, the thing I'd like to take away from him is he doesn't want to go and play, say, a first-line shift on any other team. He'd rather be this guy in this city, in this province, right here. He's fallen in love with this place just as much as this place has fallen in love with Todd Skirving. And this is a marriage made in heaven for both parties.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really not hard to tell that, because if you just look back to times like Snowmageddon, when Todd was, whether he was shoveling people's driveways, offering up, you know, free warm meals to people, you know, it was kind of just whatever you need, I'm there type of person. So how important is that to the franchise to have somebody like that who's just willing to, you know, hockey, it almost comes secondary. He wants to just take care of people in the community and just be that face for the team.
No, exactly. And he's such an important part for everybody involved. There's not much more I can say about Todd Skirving that hasn't been said before. He's our two-time, you know, community player of the year. And this kind of stuff, again, guys, you can't make guys do this stuff.
Exactly.
Completely on his own, Skirving is like, no, look around you. Our community is suffering, and not a lot of guys are going to put their community ahead of themselves selfishly. I don't know that I wouldn't have done that, and I don't like admitting that publicly about myself, but it's true. And I don't know, to get someone that honest and who's that well-rounded a person, I'll use this as an example. Our head coach, John Snowden, I remember this quote that he said about Skirving. He said he's an elite human being, not an elite athlete. He's an elite human being. And I don't know. I would love for someone to say that about me one day, but I got a ways to go to reach Todd Sterling level, because that's, I believe that that is the honest to God truth. He truly is an elite human.
And Chris, I wanted to ask you about a former growler as well, Josh Kessner. He won league MVP this year. The guy is a stud. Yeah. Were you surprised to see him dominate like that this season?
Absolutely not. No way in heck did I not know that he had that. He had such a good year. The Toledo Walleye are such a great team. And with him, I know his family is in the Michigan area. So for him kind of being in the Grand Rapids organization with them, he was set up for success at every step there. I mean, do we wish that he maybe could have done that as a member of the Growlers? Sure. But hey, you know, we were glad to, you know, go and see him have some success, and glad to take a few points away from his walleye there back in November. I mean, no, I wish him all the best. I think he signed already overseas for next season. Good for him. Go get paid. Go make your money, man. You deserve it.
And I did want to ask you as well, Chris, the Growlers, they took a big step this year when they announced that their support for the LGBTQ plus community and the partnership with the You Can Play Project. For first off, for our listeners who might not know, can you break down the You Can Play Project?
Yeah, now to be fair, I'm not super involved on that side right now, and I've had a little vacation over the last little bit since a lot of this has kind of come into the Growlers front office. Maybe I'm not the best to speak of that, but all I can say is, like, as an individual, I feel so glad and so fortunate to be a part of an organization that really puts an emphasis on inclusion. And, you know, everyone, I like to believe hockey truly is a game for everybody. And, you know, seeing all of our Pride merch that we've come out with and stuff, I own all of it already. You know, it's really just good to see, because I know that a lot of people have become a lot more socially aware, I think, over the course of this pandemic as well. And I know a lot of that has maybe resulted in some riots and some really tough looking moments. But I think at the end of the day, if this, you know, changes our society for the better, you know, at the end of the day, then, you know, I bring it all on, you know. But I really like seeing that. Same with the NHL return to play, seeing a lot of their messaging very positive to a lot of the causes that are, you know, currently active in our society. I'm in favor of it.
We're going to take another time out here on the Wednesday edition of On Target St. John's. We're speaking with Chris Ballard, the voice of your Newfoundland Growlers, right when we come back.
This is On Target St. John's on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain, On Target St. John's on VOCM.
We're back. That was quick, but we're back. We're going to jump right back. We are on the line with the voice of your Newfoundland Growlers, Chris Ballard. So, Chris, let's go over and let's just talk about the league for a little bit and that return to play plan we've talked about a couple times so far throughout the last half an hour. The ECHL Board of Governors, in conjunction with the Professional Hockey Players Association, has approved a revised start date for the 2020-2021 ECHL season. The anticipated start date is December 4th, 2020, for a full 72-game schedule. First off, were you surprised that they're going to go after the full season, all 72 games? Nope.
I don't know if it's good fortune of being able to kind of follow in the footsteps of the National Hockey League and the American Hockey League. The AHL, more in particular, because that's where you see most of the transactions, roster changes, guys going up and down between these two leagues. So I do think that they saw the importance of having these two leagues kind of sync up, for lack of a better term. Yeah. So it doesn't surprise me. 72 games is still a lot, but if you're shifting, from my understanding, the way it goes is the schedule, as it was initially laid out for your, say, October start date, you're going to basically cut the first half off and place it in the second half and keep the games as they were originally scheduled from December, January, February,
gotcha,
March, and then make the rest up at the end. I'm sure they'll come out with an official schedule. So with that being said, I mean, am I opposed to, you know, possibly calling maybe another finals in next summer? Well, certainly not. So again, just trying to look at the positives, but I like the idea of trying to keep a full season. A shortened season, people start talking about asterisks and, you know, is this even, you know, talking about the integrity of the game and the championships. At least the 72-game schedule kind of puts the kibosh on that for
me. Now, do you think the league overall might take a hit from the pandemic due to some guys packing up and heading overseas to leagues like the Dell in Europe, like we just talked about with Josh Kessner?
I don't know if they'll take a hit, but it might be a different looking league a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't blame a lot of players for wanting to sign overseas where you may have more of a chance of not starting your season early or maybe starting at all, depending on what our situation looks like here over the course of the next few months. I don't blame these guys for wanting to play, for wanting to, you know, putting all their eggs in that basket to wanting to play. But that being said, you know, there's a lot of great players who are going to be under contract from the Toronto Marlies and Toronto Maple Leafs, not to mention the guys that the Growlers have already signed. So, it might be a little different. The dynamic may shift one way or another. But, again, from that involvement with the Maple Leafs and Marlies, the one consistent that I would look forward to is I'm expecting another solid Growlers team to hit the ice, regardless of what the rest of the league looks like. So it's going to be a bit of an interesting dynamic to see if there's anyone else who can, you know, come out as well as I'm hoping the Growlers can at the end of all of this. But again, there's so much time, so much runway left. So there's still a lot of wait and sees out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so much that's, you know, dependent on whether or not this league can go ahead in December and, you know, whether or not anything can really go ahead, whether it's pro sports, concerts, you know, anything under the sun that involves
and
crowds.
And the ECHL is different again. Sorry to cut you off.
No, nope, go ahead.
It's because the ECHL is unlike the NHL in that it between the lines, you can't exist without fans in the building. There's massive national television deal that's going to offset costs. The ECHL and the American Hockey League, for that matter, both kind of require butts in the seats. So, and with social distancing going to be a big part of what's going to allow, you know, people back in the building, it's going to be interesting. A lot has to happen and change before we reach that point. So it is going to be a different landscape, but I know everyone is working super hard at doing things the right way to make sure that when we do come back, we are coming back in a way that's going to be safe for the players and the staff and the fans and everybody else. The work is being put in now, and hopefully we get a chance to see it all pay off in December.
Yeah, and Chris, just on that note, an interesting note I noticed from Sportsnet that they released today, just kind of showing the impact that, you know, having that televised games, these nationally televised games, really do have, and how it's tougher to survive when you don't have that. But since July 24th, 16.4 million Canadians have tuned in to watch Sportsnet's coverage of the NHL, NBA, MLB. More than 45% of the population. And last week, Sportsnet was the most watched station in the country with an average minute audience of 345,000, which is higher than normal. So it shows that people are dialed in and they are watching because they are very interested in what's going on, especially after being deprived from pro sports for so long. But it just really goes to show the impact that televised games really do have.
No, exactly. And the ECHL model is pretty different from that as far as viewership goes.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great viewership on ECHL TV. That's the league's subscription provider for streaming games through your laptop and your devices. And again, with what we have on Rogers, but it's gonna be different. I think people are gonna be consuming hockey in a different way, and even us internally, especially through the success that we've had with our Twitch platform, we're even toying with some options as to how we can offer a more engaging offering, I suppose, to those who may be trying to watch or listen, for that matter, heading into next season, because we may not be able to have as many butts in the seats, but that doesn't mean that people should be deprived of their opportunity to follow their hometown and their home province team. So we're doing everything we can to have some fun and get creative to make up for whatever shortcomings, you know, we may be looking at down over the next couple of months.
And now, the Growlers did finish the season at the cutoff date, atop the standings in their division, third in the conference. Are you confident that this team could have pulled off a repeat? Because honestly, I think this year's team was actually a little bit better than last year's.
You're not the only one who thought that. Look, everyone knows I'm a homer broadcaster, so we'll just park all that for now. But I honestly mean it, that I really do think that the Growlers had a better chance than they did this time a year ago. Now, the target on their back was only growing. But if you look at the team, first of all, the Growlers ended the year on a great note. They were really peaking, and you were getting all these guys back from the American Hockey League. They had a bunch of guys up, and the Growlers were, everything was coming together right when you would want it to. And then, of course, this situation happened. So, I mean, what I look forward to, I had a great conversation with the assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Lawrence Gilman, on our last episode of Growler Hour. It's available on the Growler's website and social media channels if you want to go and look at it. But I asked him in not so many words. I'm like, Lawrence, I know this is a tough situation for everybody, but I'm like, what can you tell us about the Maple Leafs' involvement, you know, with the Growlers moving forward? Because you've had two seasons now to kind of really develop what this relationship looks like. And he gave me one of the best answers, an answer I never expected. He said, Chris, he's like, there will be NHL contracted players playing for the Growlers again this season. We love the relationship. I'm paraphrasing. Wow. We love this relationship. You know, obviously we're seeing players get developed. The coaching staff is doing a good job. So obviously that we were going to get through a couple of rounds, I think, of the playoffs had they existed this year. And I loved hearing that about Lawrence heading into next season again. So I know now might not be the time to, you know, get super excited, but when we do hit the ice again, I know there's no reason not to expect another season filled with another great hockey team here in St. John's and for the province.
Yeah, and with that too, that's a treat for the fans too. When you know you got guys coming in who are on NHL contracts, they're young, budding stars, it's always really exciting to watch. But Zach O'Brien and Marcus Power on the Talk on the Rock podcast with Jesse Sutton and Clifton Finney, quick shout out for the boys. I chatted with them last night. They got a good thing going. But the boys said that they really believe they could have gotten the job done again this year and repeated. So how important is it just to have that mindset, that culture of winning inside that dressing room?
That's what I mean. Like, there are players, I'm sure, who had played against the Growlers over the course of their first two seasons of existence who are saying, I got to get in there. We're truly become a real destination in the ECHL for guys who not only want to find success on the ice and maybe win their first championship of their careers, but they also see the Garrett Johnstons who get those PTOs, who get a look in the American Hockey League. Not a lot of places have that same relationship and that are willing to extend that to guys that are currently on the ECHL contracts as well. So this is going to be a hub for players moving forward, guys who want to come here. And plus, let's look at the province and the surroundings that these people are coming into. Like, I spoke with a gentleman who has yet to be announced his signing, and he explained to me, he said, Chris, when I came into Newfoundland last year, not knowing where it really was, and I came in even as a member of the visiting team, he says, I was blown away. The fan support, the building, he could tell even from an arm's length that our players got treated better than almost anybody in professional hockey. The quality and the standards are so high here in St. John's that he called his agent and said, this is a place where I want to try and play. And spoiler, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, of course, but there are people coming in down the pipe who that was their reason for wanting to come here. So, I mean, if you look at the Leafs and the culture that's been built here moving forward, there's no reason to think, there's no lull in the horizon, at least in my eyes. So get excited for December. That's all I can say.
We're chatting with Newfoundland Growlers broadcaster Chris Ballard on Target St. John's. And Chris, you just spoke to it a little bit, but many Growlers found success in the AHL this season. Scott Pooley, Christian Rubens are just two that instantly come to mind. I spent a little bit of time in Toronto just before the pandemic. I did catch a Marlies game. Both the boys were in the lineup and looked great. Nice. But were you surprised to see, you know, so many guys from the Growlers make that jump after just the one season?
Not at all. That's been the point of the Growlers, if you want to look at it that way, since day one. It is a development-first kind of system here as the Leafs try and develop that three-tier system, similar to Major League Baseball, that sees prospects kind of enter at our level, the quote-unquote double-A level, and then move up and hopefully move up again to play for the NHL Maple Leafs. So to see those guys, and no one is surprised that Scott Pooley was able to find success. The guy's just a goal scorer, whether it's at our level or the American League level, or hopefully even further beyond for him, in no way surprised. And same can be said for Hudson Ellenuck, who was, full-time Marley this year. There's so many. And Christian Rubin signing an NHL contract after starting his season in Newfoundland on an ECHL deal, again, just goes to show the relationship that exists between Toronto and us here in St. John's. And And again, so many reasons to get excited moving forward, because this model doesn't seem like it's changing, at least for now.
Yeah, and that's actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was exactly what I had in front of me next, was the Leafs using this thought of almost like the baseball system of AAA, AA, and then the MLB-style system, and it clearly is working for developing players. Obviously, John Snowden is the guy now. What impact has he had on the group since taking over?
Immeasurable. It's actually, if you look at it this way, coming in mid-season to take the reins of a team for your first head coaching gig and leading that team to a championship is impressive enough. Then going into this full season, your first full season with the reins, and to, again, with that target on your back, turn that into a first-place team that was, as we discussed, in a position to defend for a second title. All of that belongs to the coaching staff and their guidance in getting the most out of the players. And it's not just John Snowden, of course. Darryl Williams, assistant coach Marek Benda on the goaltending side of things, deserves a lot of credit for what we ended up seeing out of Michael Gartag, Parker DeHagen, Angus Redmond, and the others down the stretch. Paul Dagg, the video coach. These guys, this is an NHL coaching staff. Let's be honest with ourselves. And they do deserve a lot of the credit. And, you know, with Snowy leading the charge back again, he's working hard now trying to build his team. He's in touch with the Maple Leafs on a regular basis. And we really lucked out with a guy like John Snowden. And don't be surprised if, the next American League opening opens up, that there are teams that try and consider a guy like him, given what he's been able to do in such a short time here. Very impressive for me, even.
We're going to take our last break of the afternoon here on the Wednesday edition of On Target St. John's. We're going to continue this conversation with Newfoundland Growlers broadcaster Chris Ballard right after these. It is 1:44.
Now back to Linda Swain, On Target St. John's on VOCM.
Welcome back to On Target St. John's. Ben Murphy filling in for VOCM's Linda Swain today. We're talking hockey with the voice of your Newfoundland Growlers, Chris Ballard. And Chris, we just talked about the transition from John Snowden, from head coach Ryan Clough when he had to step down. But what kind of things did you find Ryan Clough really brought to the room, that a guy with that kind of NHL experience?
Yeah, I think the infamous, there's kind of a story that goes around within our locker room about Chloe's first speech in the room to the boys. I was
okay
in there for it, but you know, talking to James Melindy and a few of the guys who knew Chloe a little bit and could kind of tell the story, apparently he scared a lot of the rookies with his intensity and his high standard. Apparently he gave a roaring speech at the beginning that had a few of the younger guys ready to play their first game of pro looking around being like, oh my God, this guy's nuts. again, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying our players thought Chloe was actually crazy, but I mean, clearly he brought a lot of passion, a lot of grit, and a lot of the same stuff that he brought to the ice when he was playing in the NHL himself. But I don't know. You might have to get Meller on the show and give some details of that story, because that's the one that I've heard, that's for sure.
All right, I'm on to that, because I want to hear that story in full. And that transition went incredibly smooth. I don't know if I've seen a coaching transition that has gone so, you know, so seamless than that. Were you surprised by that at the time?
I mean, I think you have to be a little bit surprised. No one expects, you know, you could have a talent-laden team, you know, top to bottom, but a coaching change is no guarantee of anything. And if anything, you expect a little lull as, you know, kind of the players adapt. And I really didn't feel like that existed at all for the Growlers in their initial season. I think John was more than capable of taking the reins, and he got to work real hard, you know, even prior to joining the Growlers. He had a great experience under a head coach in Orlando with the Solar Bears, former St. John's Maple Leaf. Drake Barahowski is a head coach there. And he's obviously a great hockey mind. He was a first-round pick himself, Drake was. So getting to learn the game at this level, Snowy was ready to take the reins. Now, he'll be the first one to tell you he did not want to get his first head coaching job this way, because someone's health, you know, obviously made themselves ineligible to perform the job. But I know that, you know, John never missed a beat, and I know he's real excited to get back to work and get this season underway.
So, Chris, we do have a few minutes left here, and I did want to ask you just a little bit about the NHL's return to play. I mean, first off, what have your thoughts been so far? It's been crazy.
It's impressed me, honestly. I think even just the whole dressing of the arenas, they don't look like big empty buildings. They just look different and cool in my mind. So I'm totally up for that. And I didn't even mind watching 8 hours of a single game or whatever it was yesterday. I find even through the preliminary rounds, the intensity was high. You know, I'm not missing anything because there's no fans. The only thing I'm missing is, you know, the cold weather, because I'm not a warm weather guy. I'm used to watching all this in the cooler weather. But no, man, this has been so much fun to watch. Maybe the Leafs notwithstanding, but you know, really looking forward to seeing what else comes down the pipe over the next few months. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, going into this, we heard so much negativity about it that, you know, it's not going to work, yada yada yada. There's been no positive tests of COVID-19 in the bubble to this point. I mean, if you watch the games, it is just incredible. I mean, 5 overtimes last night, like, give me a break. But were you surprised by the intensity, the amount of fighting that there has been? Because I know, you know, many didn't expect there to be a whole lot with no fans in the building.
What kind of did surprise me was for the teams that are in that were playing just round robins through the first round. That's where I was surprised by the intensity, because okay, all you're really doing is playing for seeds, so it didn't really make a huge difference where you stood. You're still one of the top 4 seeds. And those games were still some of the best games of the postseason so far. So, no, I'm not surprised. These guys, this is the Stanley Cup on the line. These guys still want this. There's no asterisk, like I said earlier. Yes. So these guys want this. And, you know, there's a handful of teams that could win it. So it's going to be real exciting to look down the stretch.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about the next was that asterisk, and I was glad you brought that up earlier, because at first, of course, there was a lot of talk about it, but I mean, now, I don't know. Can anybody possibly argue that there's an asterisk next to this? Because you're watching, and like you just said, they want it. It's right there. You can see the excitement when they score goals. I mean, Brayden Point looked like a kid on Christmas when he scored that one last night. And, you know, it's just like, I personally just don't find there's really any difference aside from there not really being any home ice advantage.
I agree. And to me, by keeping best of 7 in the actual series, that's what keeps the integrity of the Stanley Cup intact for me. If you go into, you know, best of 5s for anything beyond the play-in rounds, like, then you're getting a little different, a little quick. But nothing's changed. The game is the same. The series are the same. And you've eliminated home ice advantage, like you said. So there's really, dare I say, it could be even argued it's a more even playing field.
Probably. Absolutely.
That might be a stretch. But no, to me, there's, I don't know, where would the asterisk come from is my question. Where has the integrity of this been compromised? Because I really don't feel it has it. I don't think there's any team that's missing any core key guys on account of COVID. Rosters are for the most part complete. Mm-hmm. The players want to play. The NHL's doing it the right way. The NHL's, this is the best sports league in the world right now, in my opinion, as far as how they're handling this whole situation. So, I mean, I'll give props all day to the NHL for doing it the right way and maintaining the integrity of the greatest championship in sports. This is a slam dunk as far as I'm concerned.
I'm right there with you, Chris. We are out of time here, but I do want to squeeze in one more quick question. Who's your prediction? Who's going to win the Cup?
We're going to go with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay. That's another one. All right. Me and Greg Smith here at VOCM, we were talking about it too, that we both think Philly's at least coming out of the East, probably going to win the Cup.
I think so. Philly, Colorado Cup final.
Yes, that's exactly what I said. Okay, you're with me. You're with me 100%. I love that.
Great minds think alike.
Newfoundland Growlers broadcaster Chris Ballard, thank you so, so much for joining me on the Wednesday edition of On Target St. John's. It's always a pleasure getting to chat.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks again.
On behalf of producer Carrie Hodder and all of us at VOCM, I'm your guest host, Ben Murphy, today. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wednesday edition of On Target St. John's. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again.